If you would be turning to Mark 5, Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which has an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Paul and I were kind of joking around with one another the last couple of weeks about, you know, she's had her surgery, she's walking around bending over, and, you know, my arms are hurting from the RA. But, you know, these type of ailments is something that the elect and the reprobate all have to deal with. All of us have to go through these things. But the ailment and the experience in this passage, not everyone experiences. Only God's elect experience this kind of ailment, because this kind of ailment that God brings us through or in, but he also provides the cure for the ailment. It is an ailment of the heart. Although God may also heal you of a physical ailment, this passage is talking about a sin problem. Think about this. Have you ever been in a crowd and it seems like you're the only one in the crowd that seems to have a problem? As far as it concerns you and the thrice holy God, his law has condemned you to death so that there is no escape. You are guilty before him, and you have nothing of yourself that could heal you. You have also come to the place where you know that there is no one else that can heal you either. It's like Job said in Job 19:10, He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. What is this place? It's a place of total despair. You know you're just going to die in your sins and be condemned forever. You see that you have offended God, and unless someone else does something to you and for you, you will forever perish. You're not really paying attention about anyone else and what's going on with them. You just know that yourself to be the sinner, whether anyone else is or not. But you are consumed with knowing you're at the end of your ropes with no hope other than just possibly you might be able to lay hold of Jesus Christ to touch him or to be touched by him and be healed. I want to look at the issue, the results of men's attempts, the hearing of faith, which is the start of knowing the real cure, and then the real cure. I first want to talk about the uncleanness of this woman. This is giving us a picture of all men by nature. When I say men, I mean men and women. This is a picture of us by nature. This word picture, if you will, is a picture of a believer being brought to Christ. The issue. First of all, we read in Leviticus 15:25, it says this, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean." Now, I don't know for sure if this woman was a Jewish woman or not. It doesn't really say. But I kind of figure she was, because since he was in his own city, it says Christ went back to his own city. In Matthew, it says that. But she had this issue 12 years. This is a long time to have any kind of issue. But she was losing blood. She was hemorrhaging, you might say. And if the blood is all gone, she dies. At least as far as she knew, she was losing her life. Her bleeding would not stop. She is probably very weak, certainly very poor. But not only that, the law has condemned her as unclean, and she cannot stop it. No other man has been able to stop this, although they tried. For a price, evidently, because it says she spent all that she had. So there was no help unless she had money to pay for it. Since she spent all she had no options left. It says she spent all that she had. I figure she thought she was going to die either by loss of blood or starvation or something else, because she had an issue and there was no cure for it. Oh, what a picture of us by nature this is. In this account, this is a believer by nature. We are dead while we walk. The law has condemned us to death. We have no cure. No one else has a cure. We have nothing to pay for salvation. All we have is our own blood, which the law says makes us unclean. Everything we have tried has just caused us pain and suffering, so that we are worse off than when we started. What was done initially by this woman, and who did she turn? So the results of men's attempts. These physicians are like the world of religion today. You need to learn to love yourself. Telling men and women, think positive. You can do it. You should be proud of yourself. They want and tell you to confess your sins before them, and then they use this for leverage against you for gain of some kind. Not caring one iota about your salvation or the truth as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. And there is a good reason for this. They don't know the truth as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. They give you a false hope and say things like, all you have to do is come to the front and say the sinner's prayer, or God has done all he can do, now it's up to you. This may have been where this woman was at one time, but we know by this passage, it's not where she ended up. But when a sinner prays to God, it's not really just about the words they are saying. It's about the attitude they have when they say them. What do they think of themselves, and what do they think of God? It is a state of mind. It is acknowledging to God that you are nothing, yea, less than nothing. Just saying words will do you no good. All it will do in the religious world is gain them a following, the ones feeding you these lies. A sinner prays acknowledging what they are and who God is. You acknowledge that you have offended a holy God and nothing in your hands for you to bring. All she had was not enough. This world will try to talk you into thinking you or they have the means to make you better because they have your person in admiration because of advantage. Just do this or do that. And when you do, they glory in that as if you or they have done something for God. These are they that Jude speaks of in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And again in verse 16 it says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. And their mouths speak of great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But this never works. You are worse off than when you started. She suffered many things. They did things to her over and over again, causing her many and often pain and suffering. These physicians took everything she had and did not make her any better. In fact, she was worse off than when she started. Verse 26 says, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." We are unwilling to come to God by nature. But because of our sinful nature, we will follow them that are hirelings. But God be thanked, He will make you willing in the day of His power. You cannot do it on your own. The ability has to come from Him. Next, let's look at the hearing of faith. And this is the start of knowing the real cure for us. This woman was like this at one point. She was willing to use whatever she had to heal herself by looking to this world's physicians, so much so that she was willing to give it all up. By nature, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 5:12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then God, if He is pleased, gives you life." What does the Scripture say about those who were born of God? John 1:13 says this, "Which were born, not of blood," you wasn't born into it, "nor of the will of flesh," you didn't will for this to happen to you, "nor of the will of man," nobody else willed you into it either, "but of God." Amen. Then the gospel coming to you in the power of His Spirit. Something happened here in this passage. What happened? She heard. Have you ever heard in this way? I remember the time when I first heard. I was by myself, recalling the word of God that was sent to me, and He saved me that day and has been saving me ever since. What does this kind of hearing give us? Hope. This was not just any hearing, because this hearing directs you to a person. Yes. Who did she hear of? Jesus Christ. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Amen. She had heard that this man, Christ Jesus, could save her. She knew the miracles He was doing and may have even heard Him talking to others or others talking about Him. She knew He was the only man with virtue, or that is, the ability to save her. Why do I say that? Well, first of all, because Christ Himself said, "I perceive that virtue has gone out of me."
Yeah, that's right.
And what is virtue in this passage? What does this word mean? It means force, or ability, or miraculous power. But Christ said this. So how can I say that she knew this, since that Christ was the one that said virtue was going out of me? How does she know this? Look at verse 28. "For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." She knew that if she could just touch the hem of His garment, she would be made whole. That word "whole" there means to save, deliver, or protect. She knew that she would be saved just by touching the hem of His garment. She touched Him because He had already touched her by the hearing of Him by faith. And she was given the ability through Christ to be healed when she touched Him. The healing had to come through Jesus Christ. By the power of His Spirit, she knew that she would be saved if she could just come into contact with Jesus Christ. But this is amazing, and I don't know if I can give it to you as good as I'd like, or as good as someone else would do it. But let's look at verse 24 for just a minute. Excuse me. Verse 24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him." Christ was being thronged. Did virtue go out of Him when everyone else was touching Him? He was being touched all over the place by a lot of people. So much so that His disciples questioned how could He possibly know who it was that touched Him. In verse 31, And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Christ did not acknowledge these others as them having touched him, only the one that had heard him by the hearing of faith. It is also amazing to me that it says here in Mark that Christ said, Who touched my clothes? She touched the fringe of his garment, and Christ knew he had been touched by a sinner in the middle of a mob. Now, concerning faith, this was a special touch, a touch done in faith. That is what we are told in this passage in verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. This is what we are... Scripture tells us that all men have not faith, though. I know a lot of people talk about faith, but there is a faith that is not the faith of God. This faith is called a dead faith. Why? Because faith without works is dead, James says. Believing is a work. It's a work of God through faith. But I say that the Spirit of God gave her this faith because this kind of faith only looks to Christ and is only given by the Spirit of God. What does Scripture tell us? The fruit of the Spirit is this. In Galatians 5:22, it says this, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. If God the Holy Spirit gives you faith, you will reach out to Christ when you hear of him because you have been given faith. We know this woman had faith because Christ said she did in verse 34.
Yes, sir.
He said, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
The passage in Hebrews 12 and 2, when God allowed this to sink into my mind, it's just been a real blessing to me. But the Scripture tells us that Christ is the author and finisher of faith.
Amen.
It says our in that passage, but take it out. It is our faith because God gives us the faith. But he gives it to us by his Spirit. But that passage is talking about Christ being the author of faith itself. He trusted the covenant made with the Father that he himself would accomplish and what had been promised to do, and he perfected it completely to the uttermost. He got the job done. Faith began or was authored by Christ, and he perfected and completed it. Faith is as old as God is because he does not change, and Christ is God.
Amen.
It is this very faith that is given to us by his Spirit. That faith looks to who Christ is and what he has done. This is not something we work up. There was an initial time where I was in this same place as this woman with an issue of blood. I did not have the same physical ailment, but I did come to the end of my ropes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, by faith, allows me to experience this need again and again. What does the Scripture say? When I am weak, then am I strong. How comforting it is to know that all ability comes from him, whatever it is. And to be reminded of that often is a comfort to me. God's Word tells us also that God gives faith. Faith is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 through 2:10 says this, For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So, grace, salvation, faith is a gift of God, and it is not a gift that you accept or reject. The Holy Spirit of God comes to you giving you life, and by his fruits, you, hearing the gospel sent to you, do believe. You have been brought to the place where there is no other place to go. He sees to it that he is the only place of safety. You will gladly run to him. Because he has given it all to you to do this. He does this because he is the only place where safety can be found. And if he did not do it, you would not come. Now listen, faith did not die for you. Christ did. But this faith, by the power of God, allows us to see Christ and Him crucified. Faith brings this salvation to me because it allows me to see Christ. In God's mind, we are saved because Christ was and He is our substitute. Faith allows us to enter into this salvation because it is the faith of Christ.
Yes.
Now, just a little bit more on our passage. If you notice here in this passage that he started out going to help someone else first. This Jairus came to him about his daughter. Someone else had a need as well, and he, Christ, was going to help them. He has this crowd surrounding him, bumping up against him back and forth, touching him all over the place. I'm sure this woman, being very weak, and the crowd around him seemed to be so great, but she knew, I am so unclean. She was determined to get to Christ, only to touch the hem of his garment.
Amen.
She was going to do this knowing she would be healed and then go on her way without having to say or do anything else. When she heard of this Jesus, and it always begins that way for a sinner, she heard of Christ knowing she was unclean, having nothing of any value to offer that can make the difference, as she had already spent all that she had and was worse off than when she first started. But the real cure, this Jesus, who was seemingly totally involved with helping everyone else, was on this woman's mind, and she knew she had to get to Him. Knowing to touch Him, she would be made whole. Christ meant for this to happen just this way. He is never too busy that He will not deal with a sinner in need. In fact, He purposes it for it to be this way. There's no obstacle that God cannot overcome if He is pleased to do so. None. Christ being touched by a sinner will be recognized by Jesus Christ because He purposed it to be so. This was no mere happenstance. Jesus Christ meant for this to happen and for it to happen this very way. And He knew all about this woman. A touch by a sinner by faith will stop Christ in His tracks. And He will cause you to confess all to the acknowledging of Him. Christ will not just let you come to Him in secret without making it known and without causing you to confess who you are to Him. She confessed it right there to Christ. Verse 32 and 33 says, "And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth." God Almighty in love causes us to come to Him and confess all the truth. We will bow down to Him. We will bow down to Him, confessing our sins to Him, not a priest, not a preacher, but Him. We will tell Him all the truth. She confessed that she was unclean. She told Him she tried everything else she could. And she confessed to Him that she had nowhere else to go and that she knew He had power to make her clean. She confessed her utter ruin and confessed His utter ability. Now, in conclusion, if you are a sinner, knowing that you are lost and without hope in the world, reach out to Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you can reach out to Christ, it is because He has made it so. So just reach to Him. He has the ability to save you. I know this because this book tells me so. And this is the record God gave of His Son. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank You once again for allowing us to meet here and to hear Your word proclaimed, dear Lord. Dear Lord, all ability, all power is in You. Help us, dear Lord, to be mindful of Christ always. Just, there's times, dear Lord, where You might seem so distant to us, dear Lord. Come closer to us, dear Lord. Be with us. We know You say You, where two or three are gathered in Your name, that You're there in the midst. Oh, dear Lord, help us to know this all the time. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.